Attende, Domine, et miserere, quia peccavimus tibi.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mother of the Word Incarnate, Saint Gabriel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. As I said earlier, the Church celebrates this great solemnity even in the midst of a season of Lent that is, you know, the season of penance, because the Church cannot, and I'd say, constrain itself not to celebrate such a great and beautiful event as the beginning of our salvation. And as we know, it's one of the traditions in the Church that the Feast of the Annunciation, the Solemnity of the Annunciation, March 25th, is also, many of the fathers of the Church believe it is also the day on which our Lord was crucified, that Good Friday and the Annunciation, those two dates coincide. And that would be a perfect sign of God's providence that the beginning of our salvation and the fulfillment of our salvation at Calvary on Good Friday, that those two dates should be the same. That the mother who became the mother of the head, Christ, at the Annunciation, becomes the mother of the rest of the mystical body on Good Friday when our Lord says, "Woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother." I have said in the past, and I repeat it again, you know, that we heard in the first reading in the prophecy of Isaiah that, you know, Isaiah did not want to know this sign that Ahaz did not want to know the sign that Isaiah was told to give to him. And so he said to him, you know, since you don't want to hear it, God's going to tell you anyway. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That every time we hear even in a prophecy, the announcement of the coming of the Savior, it always includes the mother. Every time we hear a prophecy about the good news being proclaimed in the Old Testament, it's always in connection with the mother, even from Genesis 3:15, where we hear the first gospel, the proto-evangelium, when God says to the serpent, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and yours. You shall strike at her heel, and she shall crush your head." Now, we see that on the day that God comes to fulfill it, the angel Gabriel comes to the virgin and announces to her the good news that she is going to be the mother of this Savior. And so I always think to myself, why is it that we don't understand that if we're going to effectively proclaim the good news today, that we also have to include the mother? That the good news is not just Christ alone, the good news is Christ and his mother Mary. And many in the Church seem to think that somehow they're going to proclaim the good news without her. That somehow, you know, if we say anything about Our Lady, we're going to make ecumenism, you know, it's not going to succeed if we mention anything about Our Lady, you know. God forbid that we should mention her name in any kind of ecumenical discussion. But my point is that we won't effectively proclaim the gospel, we won't effectively evangelize anybody if we don't include the mother. And even in one sense, we will be doing a great disservice and offend God if we don't announce the good news in and with and through Our Lady. Saint Anselm said this way back when we had the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. But it's so appropriate, the words that he said fulfill even today at the Annunciation. St. Anselm wrote, "God then is the Father of the created world, and Mary the Mother of the recreated world. God is the Father by whom all things were given life, and Mary the Mother through whom all things were given new life. For God begot the Son, through whom all things were made, and Mary gave birth to him as the Savior of the world." Without God's Son, nothing could exist. Without Mary's Son, nothing could be redeemed. Truly the Lord is with you, Mary, to whom the Lord granted that all nature should owe as much to you as to himself. What powerful words those are. Truly the Lord is with you, Mary, to whom the Lord granted that all nature should owe as much to you as to himself. It seems to me that we should be giving her that credit and owe to her what even Christ has paid great honor and given her great a place in heaven, because she has cooperated in a way par excellence more than any other creature in the salvific will of God. But today, in some sense, you know, in our world with all the threat of passing, you know, hate crimes or hate speech crimes, you know, it seems that we want to make the good news bad news. If you say anything that might, you know, touch somebody's conscience, oh, that's a bad thing to say. But it's not new, because Ahaz is one of the first ones. He's like the father of all the those who don't want to hear the good news. And even blessed Gerech of Inyi, who is a father of the church, says, you know, that he even kind of talks about this same phenomena, which was way back in his day, and it still are today. People don't want to know or hear the good news. They want to shut their ears to it, even when it, you know, tells them things they don't want to hear. He says this: "What a joy, what a delight should be, should the fulfillment be for us. Oh, the happiness of these times, oh, the unhappiness of these times. Shall we not speak of the happiness of the times in which there is such a plenitude of grace and of all good things? Shall we not speak of the unhappiness of the times which are marked by such ingratitude on the part of the redeemed? For behold, the fullness of time has come in which God sends his Son to become the Son of Man and men's Savior. And behold, the ingratitude of the times, that sinful man should be weary of his Savior. Salvation is announced to the lost, and they scorn it. Life is promised to those in despair, and they neglect it. God comes to men, and they do not rise to meet him." The good news is proclaimed through the message of the church when it preaches the gospel. And as I said, the gospel is Jesus and his mother. And still men today do not want to hear the good news. We must pray in a special way that through the intercession of Our Lady, who brought the good news to Elizabeth and her infant son still in her womb, that she will, you know, soften the hard hearts of modern man today, who don't want to hear the good news that will make them truly happy. And we want to pray for ourselves that we too will be open to hear the word of God, that it truly may be made flesh in our hearts, as it was in Our Lady, but in our sense, in our sense that, you know, the Christ, the word will be made flesh in us by being, you know, seen in our words and in our actions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.